The following message is brought to you by City Place Church and Pastors Damon and Taisha Moore in Orlando, Florida. We hope this message inspires you to build new dreams, ignite your faith, and be established as the leader God is calling you to be. For more information, visit us online at cityplacechurch.com.
Conceived in a virgin womb. Heaven's perfection breathes his first in a barn. The fullness of God beats in the heart of a helpless infant. This is the genius of his birth. The requirements of the law outmatched by the righteousness of God. Sovereign simplicity confounds the wisdom of this world. Relentless mercy humbles the proud and heals the broken. This is the genius of his life. The light of the world, wrapped in our darkness. Freedom and strength bound in our weakness. The peacemaker pierced, the creator destroyed, the power to save spent not for himself. This is the genius of his cross. Death's signature victory stripped by love's ultimate triumph. Hell's finest hour eclipsed by the dawning of grace. Limitless hope lives again in all who believe. This is the genius of resurrection. The lamb slain so that man no more may die. The suffering servant before whom all will bow. His finished work is the fountain of all new beginnings. This is the way. This is the truth. This is the life. This is the genius of Jesus.
This morning, I want to preach on the subject, the genius of Jesus. If you have your Bibles, go with me to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. And as you're doing that, I want to welcome every single person watching online this morning. We don't just have people here in Orlando, Florida, but we literally have people watching all across the country. And so we welcome you to Orlando, Florida this morning on Easter Sunday. We believe that God has called you to build dreams that are beyond your wildest expectation. Your faith is going to be ignited, and God is going to establish you as a leader. So, City Place Church here in Orlando, can you welcome every single person watching online this morning? We welcome you this morning. And for those of you who are here, over the last few weeks, we've just had a great time. I feel a little preachy this morning, which means, as I said, over the last few weeks, I get real passionate. If I get real passionate, I'm not yelling. It's just that I've always been a passionate person, jumped around, being loud. And so I believe that God is going to speak to us. If you have your Bibles, again, like I said, go with me to Luke chapter 22. I'm sorry, 23. You ready? Here we go. And it says this in verse 32. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right side, the other on his left side. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." After that, they divided lots and took his clothes. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is Christ of God, the chosen one." The soldiers also came and mocked him. They offered him wine and said, "If you are really the king, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man here, he's done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, please remember me when your kingdom has come and when you go into your kingdom." And Jesus said, I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise. It was about the sixth hour the darkness came over the whole land in the ninth hour, for the sun shined. And after the curtain of the temple was torn in two, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And when he had said this, he breathed his last breath. Go to verse 50. And it says, now there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council. He was a good man who he had worked in the courts, but he had not consented to the decision and the action. And he came from the town of Judea, of Arimathea. Verse 52, going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. Then he took it down, he wrapped it in linen cloth and placed it in a tomb, one in which had not yet been laid. It was preparation day. The Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Jesus and saw the tomb and how his body laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes. They rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the command. Chapter 24, verse 1 says, and on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took spices that they had prepared, went to the tomb. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In the fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember what he told you? While he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be risen again. Then they remembered his words. I read all of that to you this morning because I wanted to create a context about the genius of Christ. We spend time focusing on the cross. We spend time focusing on the resurrection. That is the reason why we're here today. But today, if I could, I'd like to talk to you about the genius of Jesus. Would you give me just a few minutes to present to you the genius of Jesus? Would that be all right? Now, here's the amazing thing about Jesus, is in order to study him out, we must investigate the person of Jesus. It is one thing to hear the stories, but the only way we will truly know who he really is to investigate him. And there are three ways by which this morning, if I can present to you, I would like to present to you three things. The first thing is I would like to present to you his history. The second thing I'd like to present to you is what he said, his speech. And the third thing is his action. In order for us to investigate Jesus properly and discover his genius, we have to discover his history, what he said, and his action. You ready to take a journey? So let's go to his history. In Luke chapter number 1, we find that the angels open up heaven, speak to a virgin teenage girl, tell her that she is going to have a baby boy, and he will be the Messiah, and he will change the world, and you are to name him Jesus. A few chapters later, everything that the angel said happens. She gives birth to a baby named Jesus, and the Bible says that wise men come and bring him gifts. So history says that the way he was born occurred. But we find, as we continue to read throughout the book of Luke, that Jesus doesn't stay just in child form. It says that by the time he was 12, he was hanging out in the temple, and he was beginning to ask questions of the pastors and the leaders and the priests, so much so that they began to marvel. Who is this 12-year-old kid? Stories say that he so loved God's house that his mom and dad loaded up the rest of the kids, started driving home
and realized that they had a Home Alone moment. We left Kevin. You ever see that movie? Mom and Dad, Mary, the virgin mama, Joseph, the ones who had the miraculous child, lost Jesus at church because he loved God's house so much. This is just his history. I can't go to what he said until we talk about his history. And it says that when mama found him, she was like, boy, you know, every time we running around here, I'm losing you. But I ain't never lose you at church. Now, the next time, you need to be out by the chariot, the horse. I have no clue what they rode on. But when I say it's time to go, son, you need to go. And he looks at her and he says, lady, I need to be about my father's business. So before he ever became a teenager, and before he ever became the Jesus that you and I know, he was the young boy who was all about his father's business. There was something on the inside of him that said, I know my purpose. By the time we get further into Luke chapter 4, we realize that now he's starting to preach about his father's kingdom. So what starts off as a baby, a promise, turns into a 12-year-old boy. He says, mama, now you know I love God's house. I'm sorry that you left me, but I've got to be about his business. That tells us that if Jesus loved God's house, so should we. If Jesus was passionate about learning about the man that he already knew, so should we. If Jesus felt like there was more to learn and how to dialogue about the God that he already knows, that tells me that you and I have never and are still going to be chasing after who he really is. When the Son of God says, mom, there's more for me to learn. By chapter number 4, he's starting to preach now. I've got to tell people about God. So the history of Jesus says that he has already been focused on what his purpose is. His history says, this young man is different. So now, since we've talked about his history a little bit, let's talk about what he said, because I'm trying to show the genius of Jesus. We know his history just in a few moments. I wish I had time to actually take us through and just focus on the history completely of Jesus this morning, but we'd be here till Monday, and I want some chocolate. Anybody else? So we have a little bit of his history. He's starting to look like everything that people have been saying. The girl did have the baby. He is talking about God as his dad. He's mad that he had to leave church. He loves God in an intense way. But what does he say? Because in order to investigate the genius of Jesus, we must know his history, but we must also know what he said. In John chapter 10, Jesus gets real deep. In verse 9, he says this, and I put it in red letters because red is how it's signified in the scripture. He says this. Sounds kind of cocky when you hear him talk. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I set a clear distinction when you were doubting whether I'm for you. When life is throwing arrows at you and things are being taken away, I set a clear distinction that's not me at work. Because I come to give you life and that you may have it more abundantly. I've come to make it clear that I'm not trying to take you out. I'm trying to build you up. Have you ever been in a place where hell was breaking out? Not a cuss word. I saw some little ones in here. Sorry, moms and dads. Where it seemed like all of life is coming at you and it seems like it's going to consume you. And you're wondering if it's from God. And it's getting more and more intense. Jesus clearly says that the enemy will try to intensify it so much to make you feel like God's not for you. But one thing Jesus says I want to make clear is that regardless of what you may be thinking in the moment, I am only thinking about giving you life. Now watch now, I said this earlier, not just life so you can say, I have enough, but to give it to you abundantly. So if you're sitting at home and you're thinking there's got to be more, Jesus is going, yes, there is. So don't ever try to put yourself in a box of saying, I have it good enough, because Jesus is saying, I've still got more. So if your body is sick and you're just limping through life and you're okay with taking the medicine, Jesus is saying, I don't want you to take the medicine forever because I've got more. If there's hell going on in your marriage and you're going, well, today was a good day. I wonder if tomorrow will be better. Jesus wants you to know that he doesn't just want you to have a good day. He wants you to have a good month, a good year, a good lifetime with your spouse. Are you with me? So as Jesus is thinking about you, he's thinking about you having life more abundantly, not just getting by. So he says it clearly. He says, I've come to give you life so that you can have it more abundantly. Then he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Now, wait a second. You just told me that you're going to give me life more abundantly. But then you'll tell me that you're going to give your life for me. But not just that. As a good shepherd, you lead me. Shepherds, if you ever see them with sheep, they're always guiding the sheep and protecting them, keeping them safe. If one goes away, they have a way of sitting down the others and going after the one. So as you're going through life, he has big dreams, big desires for you. But he says, if you let me lead the way, I'll keep you in line, I'll protect you. But then he says, if that moment comes, I'll give my life for you. I'll never risk you, but I will risk me. See, it comes off real cocky because as he's saying all of this, the Bible says that the priests and the pastors looked at him and said, you're crazy, because they didn't study his history. They weren't there when he was in the temple asking the questions. They weren't there when he was having to argue with mom about leaving him. But his history was proving that what he was saying, he meant. So Jesus wants you to know that he's a door. But he also wants you to know that he's given you life beyond what you could ever dream or imagine. But then he says, I give you that life. I give you that big dreams. And you don't even have to do it alone. I'll help you. I'll guide you. I'll lead you. And when the moment comes when you feel like something's about to consume you, I'll give my life for you. Cocky dude, but it's part of the genius of Jesus. So I understand that that's what he said, but how many of you know that actions speak louder than words? Have you ever had someone make you a promise and not keep it? I don't know about you, but that makes me mad. If you're going to tell me you're going to do something, do it. Anybody else like that? Don't be making me no promises, leaving me out here. I'm out here. I arrived to the meeting, and you call me and tell me you sorry you late. Anybody ever been there? I've done it to people. But my actions speak louder than words. So in order to investigate the genius of Jesus, we have to look at his history, which we did just briefly. We have found that now he's starting to sound a little cocky. I mean, you the door, you the good shepherd. I just remembered you now as a little boy. I don't really know you. You up here in the temple, and you're asking a lot of religious questions about God. You're saying a lot of things. Now you're telling me you're the door. You got words, but do you have actions? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because Jesus did heal, and Jesus did restore. He healed Peter's mom in Matthew chapter 8, which is physical healing. So if you need physical healing, if Jesus tells you that he wants you to have life, he already did it. I'm just trying to show you the genius of Jesus. Jesus did heal and restore two demon-possessed men. If your mental capacity is starting to consume you and you're feeling like you're depressed because life is throwing so much at you and you have decisions coming left and right and it's starting to paralyze you, in Jesus' past, when he said, I'm the door, I'm the life giver, when he said, hey, I'll give my life for you, there's action to prove that when he said something, he did it. Y'all are just watching. Y'all are just watching me preach. He healed a man with palsy. Has there ever been barriers in your life that caused you to not be able to advance? The man with palsy, the Bible says he was paralyzed and he was laying on a mat. And one day he met Jesus and Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. Everybody got all mad. The religious people said, how dare you come and say your sins are forgiven? They didn't even remember the history. All they said was, what you say? He was like, I just said it, and now I'm about to give you action. After they say, do you have the right to forgive sins? Who do you think you are? Jesus looks at the guy and says, okay, now watch this. I know they heard me forgive your sins. Take up your mat and go home. I just gave you something with my words. Now I'm going to give you my actions. Take up your bed and go. There is words, and then there's actions. But hey, there's more. There was a woman who had a bleeding issue for 12 years. Have you ever had a nagging issue or addiction that you couldn't shake? Jesus deals with that. So when Jesus says he's going to do something, he does it. There is no obstacle. There is nothing that Jesus won't do. There's nothing in your life or my life that Jesus can't fix. I'm just showing you the action to what he said. Two blind men. When was the last time you dreamed? Jesus looks at the blind men and give them their sight. When was the last time you were able to see beyond your bills? The last time you were able to see beyond your circumstance? The last time you were able to see a year down the road and not just this month? When Jesus gets a hold of you, he allows you to see things that you hadn't seen in a long time. That's just the genius of Jesus. I'm just trying to prove just that this dude is a genius. That's all I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to present the case to you this morning that this Sunday is not just about the moment in time. This is about the genius of this dude who his history says that when he was born, this kid was amazing. And when he said something, he just didn't leave a promise out there. He did it. But I can prove it even further because Jesus said in John chapter 11, 25 and 26, he said this. Now, this is extremely cocky to me. I don't know if it is to you. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives, believes in me, shall not die. And then he asked him, do you believe this? Do you believe what I just said? Did you just hear what I was talking about? Do you believe it? He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Earlier I read to you, he said, I'm the door. And then he said, life. Everything that Jesus talks about includes life. Everything about Jesus includes life. Everything about Jesus includes life. Everything about Jesus includes life. Every dream, life. Sickness, life. Problems, life. Everything about Jesus includes life. Are you with me? Everything about Jesus includes life, which means if there's a dead thing in your life, he wants to give it life. He says, I'm the door. Hey, you come to me, you have life. The thief comes to steal it, not giving it back. He's going to kill it. He's going to destroy it. But hey, I came to give you what? Life. And give you life more abundantly. Then he says, the good shepherd gives his what? Life for you. I come over here further down in John. He says, I am the resurrection and the what? Life. Everything about Jesus is life. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. The dreams of your life can come alive if you give Jesus an opportunity. Every broken place can come alive if you give Jesus an opportunity. I'm just talking about the genius of him because he's not just a person. This dude is who he said he is. He didn't say, I bring with me resurrection. He was bold enough to say, I am that. I am life. So I don't need to search if I can just go to the ultimate source of the power. I don't use batteries for a lamp that needs to be plugged into the ultimate power source. My phone dies, but if I plug it into the outlet, it don't die. In our life, there are things that can maintain us for a few moments. But it's not until we plug in completely to the life source that we get the power. Now, he said that. He said that. And again, I'm just trying to prove the case for this man we know as Jesus. And if by some chance he is not who he said he is, I want to prove it today. Because I feel like he's a genius. And some of us may be in here, and we may just be in here because it's Easter. And I want to prove to you that I think that this guy has some merit. I have to prove the genius of him. And so since he said he was the resurrection and the life, He better prove it. Anybody, you know what I'm talking about? He better prove it. And so I was able to find in his history, that was the very first thing, in his history that Jesus dealt with dead things. Watch, Jairus' daughter, a little girl. Jairus runs to Jesus and he says, now listen, my daughter's dead. Can you come? Jesus says, I'll go. When he goes over, everybody's wailing. He shuts the door. Watch the analogy. Shuts the door, a tomb. Shuts the door, the thing that was dead. Shuts the door so that nobody can have access. Shuts the door, finality. Don't come in. It's over. You don't want to see her like this. I can't believe what happened. Shuts the door. He walks in and says, this girl is only sleeping. No. She's not. No. She's only sleeping. Can I tell you that the dream, it's been sleeping. But what needs to walk into your room is life. Did you notice that life walked into the room in the story? That's the reason why I put the text up, is because I don't really have the time, because we all are thinking about chocolate. But if we study it out, we'll find that Jesus said that he was a resurrection and life. When he walks into this girl's room, he says, hey, girl, good girl, wake up. He grabbed her by the hand, and the girl said, ah. And then he looked at the parents and was like, come and get your baby. A widow's son, he heals him. And then in John chapter 11, Jesus had his personal friend named Lazarus, and they told him, Lazarus is sick. And Jesus said, I got to keep ministering. The next message that he got was that his friend had died, and they were mad at Jesus. You know that your friend was special to you, and you let him die. If you would have been here, watch now, if you would have been here, he wouldn't have died. If you wouldn't have been here, he wouldn't have died. Jesus, if you wouldn't have been here, he wouldn't have died. Jesus, if you wouldn't have been here, he wouldn't have died. They knew the power of their friend Jesus. Jesus, if you wouldn't have been here, he wouldn't have died. Jesus said, hey, calm down. I'm coming now. 3 days later, he starts walking. On the fourth day, he arrives. He says, now look, this sickness is not unto death. He goes and he finds that Lazarus is in a tomb, similar to the little girl. The door was closed. Oh, it's over. It's over. No, it's not over. The door was closed. Finality. He rolls over to the tomb, and the tomb was in front. The finality. He's in there. They're telling him, don't go after that. It's dead. He looks and says, move the stone out the way. Move the stone out of the way. Look, Jesus, now sometimes in church, we pray these long prayers. Jesus didn't pray a lot of long prayers. He didn't. He said, Lazarus, come out. And this is what the story says. Look now, no help. The story, if you read it, I put the text up on the screen. The story says that Lazarus, I'm serious, read the story. It's cool. It says that Lazarus comes to the entrance, and all of a sudden, he's like, hey, y'all need to get that stuff off of him. And then a few chapters later, it says that Jesus goes to Lazarus' house, and they're sitting back eating. When life shows up, your dreams come back. Your family comes back. When Jesus shows up, your problems are removed. When the enemy tries to steal it away, and I know what you may be thinking, Damon, but you don't know about the hurts of my past. If I were to tell you the stories of my life, you would be surprised that I'm still standing here. You would be surprised at the tragedies that's happened in my family that I'm still standing. But I know that what the enemy tries to steal from me through life's moments, I know that Jesus still gives life. Are you with me? I'm telling you, it's the craziest thing when you discover the genius of Jesus, because the enemy tries to take things that sometimes when you lose a family member or you lose a job or you life is throwing blows at you and you're getting mad. But you still go, Jesus, you're the life giver. That doesn't change who you are. But I know the enemy would make me think that you were the cause of the problem. Y'all all right? So he says, I'm the resurrection and the life. And then out of nowhere, he starts healing people. Here's another thing that Jesus said, and I'm getting ready to close, because the chocolate could potentially melt. And how y'all know that melted chocolate is not good chocolate. Unless it's a Kit Kat. Come on, somebody. Y'all know it's like, hey, right around the wrapper. What?
Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he would be killed, and on the third day, he would be raised from the dead. Okay, now, Jesus, wait a second. Hold up. You're the door. I get it. You're the resurrection and the life. I understand you because we've been with you. We've watched your history now. You're doing miracles. But whoa. You never mentioned yourself in the equation. Let's back up here for a second. So you're about to die? And the church people are gonna kill you? Isn't that funny? The church people are gonna kill you. Ah, that's the why religion cannot be your focus. Your focus has to be on Jesus because everybody's flesh, but religious people, they're rules and law. Nah. We're not a religious church, just so you know. We just love Jesus. So there's no routines here. Trust me, I'm going to be out of this suit next week. Now, my mama, I grew up where I was wearing a suit every week. Jesus didn't wear a suit. Ugh! Watch. That's what I told my mom. I was like, Mom, you know Jesus ain't wearing no suit. So break free that religious tradition. I'm just kidding. Watch. Y'all probably think I'm off my point, but I'm not. Remember I told you that earlier. So look, he says, now listen, if you would remember my history, and if you would remember my speech, I told you that I am the door. I told you that no one can have access to God unless they come through the door. He said, now, I have come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. Watch this. This is so good. He says, the good shepherd leads you and guides you. But the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. So he goes to his disciples. He says, now, I've got one more bit of speech to tell you. In the next few days, you're going to see something that's going to hurt your heart. But the reason why it has to be done is because I have to be raised from the dead. See, Jesus goes to the cross, and we put the emphasis on the cross because the cross was powerful. If he doesn't go to the cross, the sickness and the redemption story has no power or value. But then when he goes to the grave, it intensifies what happened on the cross. The cross was brutal, but what happened between Friday and Sunday is where my life was changed. Watch this. He says this. Watch. Look at this quote. The miracle of Sunday is that a dead man lives. The miracle of Saturday is that the eternal Son of God lies dead. The fact that God himself would allow himself to sit in a place where people could think that all of his history and everything that he said and did was about to end. The fact that God would allow his Son to sit there and have everyone wondering, set the course of life. Can I tell you that the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Jesus died to prove that the resurrection is not an event, but that it's a person. The reason why we celebrate Easter is because he's a person. Are you with me? So when Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, what he was telling you is I am resurrection. I am life. And so as you are in service today and we're thinking about Easter, I want to show you the genius of Jesus because he is the resurrection. So everything that's in your life that's dead, he can bring back to life. Will you bow your head? Bow your head. Father, I thank you for your goodness and your grace this morning. I pray that our dreams would come back alive. I pray
that every person in here would have an encounter with you. I pray, Father God, that your power and your spirit will not just dwell in the story of time, but that we will see that you are the resurrection and you are the life. So will you look up at me? So Jesus says, he says, now listen, I'm going to go to the cross and I'm going to die. In Luke chapter 23, we read that they crucified Jesus. In Luke chapter 24, we read that Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus Christ is the resurrection. Jesus Christ is the life. This Easter Sunday is not about a moment in time. We're here to celebrate the person of Jesus Christ. Are you with me? So every Easter, we celebrate Jesus himself. And so the dreams of your life, the things that you're believing God for, we need to allow Jesus the access. See, Jesus did not come to start a religion. Jesus came to offer you and I eternal life. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is about a relationship.
That's all for this week's podcast edition. Join us online at cityplacechurch.com for more resources, upcoming events, or to submit a prayer request. Or if you are in the Central Florida area, join us on Sunday morning for a life-giving service that builds dreams, ignites faith, and establishes leaders for the kingdom of Christ.